I don't know how much longer we can keep this up, Dave. We haven't had one customer in the store in days.
Yeah, can we at least change the store hours so we don't have to be here 16 hours a day?
Look, guys, I know it's been slow lately, but this is to be expected. It's always a little dead around this time of year. Just trust me, once summer officially kicks off, we'll be running our annual Hot Dave summer film promotion and business will start pouring in. It always does. Kara! Hey, long time no see! How's it going? Can we interest you in one of our many candy combos or movie sales?
What? I don't know, maybe. Look, I just came here because I got some kind of weird notification on my phone from Apocalypse Video saying to come here right away.
Really? From the store? That's weird. I didn't know we sent auto emails to customers. What'd it say?
Your presence is required at Apocalypse Video. It is time to complete the trilogy.
Complete the trilogy?
Hey, yeah, that reminds me of something. I got the same email earlier this morning.
Me too. I just figured it was some kind of Star Wars thing. I didn't even bother to open it.
I don't think so. May the 4th was over a week ago, so I doubt it's Star Wars related.
I mean, that's not all. It was just some kind of automated email message, that'd be one thing, but the second I opened it, it started downloading some weird album onto my phone that I can't get rid of. Some guy named Jensen or something?
Jensen? Why does that name sound familiar?
Jensen. Yeah. That name does ring a bell. What the?
Where's that music coming from? And why am I starting to get scared?
Oh, God. I remember who Jensen is.
Tell us, Dave. Who the hell is Jensen? Why is there suddenly rom-commy piano music playing? Why did... Oh no.
Yeah. Remember the episode we did last New Year's Eve?
Oh, God. You don't mean...
Yep. I think I know what's happening. Chad, what day is it?
Why, it's Mother's Day, Dave.
Oh, God, no, no, anything but that. Please, no more Gary Marshall holiday movies, I beg you.
Screw this, I'm out of here.
Me too.
It won't open.
I don't understand. It wasn't locked a second ago. Chad, unlock the front door.
You must complete the trilogy. Dave, it is the only way to end the holiday rom-com curse that the four of you have created.
What? That's bullshit.
Yeah, you were the one who picked Valentine's Day that one time.
But it was your search parameters that led me to select that film. And it was Kara's fax message requesting a romantic comedy for viewing that initiated the entire process.
Oh, God. What have I done?
Hey, guys. What's with the piano music? And why y'all look so freaked out? I did wash my hands, I promise.
Chad's forcing us to watch the final Gary Marshall holiday movie to end the rom-com curse!
And I still can't get this damn Jensen album off my phone.
Whoa, you got the new Jensen album? I've been trying to pick that up for weeks, but it's always been sold out. Could you send it to me?
God damn it, Ryan.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Atlanta, happy Mother's Day.
Hey, you know no junk food for breakfast.
Ted lets us.
He also lets you go to school without any underwear.
It's called free balling, Mom.
Sandy is a single mom.
Her ex just got remarried to like a 12-year-old.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
I'm here for a job.
Tell me more about this tween and your ex-husband.
I'm sure I exaggerated. I'll have a better idea once all the acne clears up.
Bradley is Mr. Mom.
Did you go to the supermarket?
What do we need?
Juice.
Eggs.
Eggs? And tampons.
What was that?
Tampons.
I'm just gonna write T. I'll know what that means.
Need a price check on organic.
No, that's not necessary.
Daughter?
Yeah, two.
Same boat, two sons.
It's nice meeting you. Sandy with two sons.
Jessie never sees her mom.
It's just all this Mother's Day stuff, and I start thinking about how I haven't talked to Mom.
Hi.
Oh, I have to say, Jess,
you haven't aged that much.
Thank you. I will
run to the river. Man, door's open.
You guys are supposed to be in Texas.
Yes. We've been driving 20 hours straight.
Where's the little lady's room?
I gotta drain the lizard.
Oh, thank you for sharing down the hall.
I can't take him anywhere.
Yeah.
Kristen never met her mom.
I was adopted. I've always wondered, did she just throw me away?
What you have to do, you have to find your mother.
Do you have kids?
Career keeps me busy. Who shall I make it out to? Out
on the verge of... This April.
I'm 16, I have a life.
Wait, where are you going? Rachel, get out of the car.
Celebrate the one day.
No matter what's happened between us, you're always my mother.
That connects us all.
We're not who the world thinks we are. We decide who we are, when we want, and who we want to know. Out on the verge of the rest of our lives tonight. Out on the verge
of the rest of our lives. Dad! Are you okay, Dad?
Happy Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
Tanner, no!
Oh, it's like the fourth time he's done this.
I'd like to start us off with this, with a beautiful tagline from this beautiful movie. Celebrate the one day that connects us all. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Mother's Day.
Yeah, obviously. Maybe. Yeah, it's Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day, and thank God, because that means that we have no more of these Gary Marshall holiday movies left to watch. Yes. We're no longer obliged. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again, unwillingly, by my fellow co-workers and special guest. I'm joined, of course, by Michael.
You don't go into a marriage thinking you're going to get a divorce.
just continue eating the sand, Michael. I'm also joined by Jackie.
I can't think of a single quote from this movie. Like, my brain is just thinking of all of the, like, racial slurs that happen. And I'm not going to say any of those.
Do it.
Do it.
My brain is actively trying to push this movie out.
Oh, wait. Here's the my favorite line for the movie. I'm adopted.
I don't even remember that. I'm blacked out.
We're also joined by Ryan, Jensen fan.
Number one Jensen fan.
Mom was never late to practice.
Oh, burn. Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to get in the car with my boyfriend and drive away in a... And I'm also joined by a special guest who really is responsible for all of this. It's really all her fault. Kara.
It's called free balling, Mom.
Yeah, that's how we start the movie.
That's pretty good.
And then for my quote, I'm just going to say, I'm going to go work out.
They're always working out in this movie.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Well, it's,
does
it's,
anyone have a job?
Yeah, it's easy to do when you don't work, and it's Mother's Day.
That's
and
true.
The only people who have jobs are people who run gyms.
Yeah.
Jason, I don't think he actually works there. I
he's
think
he just a perv.
He just shows up.
Yeah, I wrote down, is it sexist that all of these people are obsessed with working out? Like, there's so much fitness in this movie.
It's a little weird.
I think you're on something. I think that's what you do when you don't work and have money, I think, is you work out, maybe.
Yeah.
That's yeah. your job.
That is your job.
There were some revelations looking at the trivia of this movie. Apparently, This was the last film Gary Marshall made before his death. When this came out in April of 2016, he died in July of 2016.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry, Gary. I wish it hadn't been like this.
He was 81, you know.
And more to that, his last three movies were the holiday trilogy rom-coms.
You hate to
He had to get it out before he left.
Those were his sins before he was allowed to go to heaven.
Tie us all together. I got to get him on celluloid.
I haven't watched any of these like you all have.
Does any of them work?
No.
Yeah. No, I think they get progressively worse. And like Cards on the Table, this is the worst movie we've seen this show, hands down.
Oh wow!
I was trying to think.
I feel like you said that pretty recently too. So it just keeps happening.
Maybe
this is bad. No, I was trying to think, trying to compare this to the previous two holiday movies, Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve, and trying to, you know, keep in mind, we just watched this one and it was so bad. And it doesn't mean that the other two were good, but I feel like they had maybe like a hint of charm once or twice in those
movies. New Year's Eve had the Zac Efron and
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Which one's Taylor Swift in?
She's in Valentine's Day. Yeah.
It's not good. You think that might be like fun or something, it doesn't work.
It's not good, but at least they didn't have like a really lazy, like Trump parent kind of element.
It's just funny. Like, if you look at like the past episodes and, you know, like New Year's Eve and Love Actually and stuff, it's like you might as well think that this is the type of movie we cover on this show.
This is the only kind of movie we watch.
I mean, I think that's why we started watching. But I think that's why we did New Year's Eve, right? Or why we did Valentine's Day is because we watched Love Actually and we need to see like what.
No, we watched Valentine's Day first.
Why do we watch Valentine's Day?
Because I was like, hey, I know a Valentine's Day movie.
Because we just decided to do it. And then we were like, oh my God, this is
Who did
terrible.
This to us?
We just talked.
Facts.
I think that's funny. I mean, I don't know. It's something. I mean, I remember when they came out. I don't know why. I must have been like, I'm not going to watch that. But
Kara, what do you think of this movie?
I thought this was way better than New Year's Eve.
Interesting.
I I'll tell you why. And it is two words, and it's Jennifer Aniston.
She's trying.
Because I'm at least with a New Year's Eve, I'm sure we talked about it in the episode too. It's like, that is at least a thing that people celebrate. But Mother's Day is like, I guess I should call my mom. We're like, if you live in the same town, like, well, we should go to brunch or something.
The reason I like this one more is because New Year's Eve felt like, as I said in the episode, a waste of film. Because like, nothing happens. I don't really care about anybody except for Zac Efron and Michelle Pfeiffer, obviously. I'm just like, why did I watch this movie? Please give me my time back. This one, I wouldn't say it was good, but I had fun watching it. I was laughing at some things because they were funny and also because they were absolutely ridiculous. It at least like elicited emotions from me.
I see what you're saying. Like there is something to be said for like a complete train wreck being more exciting to watch and more enjoyable than something that's just boring.
Well, and I think a train wreck's a good way to describe this movie because I'm gonna shock you guys.
They filmed this in 6 hours.
Well, for a train wreck to occur, that would imply that the train had to have been on the track at some point. And I think this movie is on the track for almost half of it.
Whoa. Like,
Explain yourself, Dave.
I thought you were about to say,
I think this car is sitting in the train yard. It is not even attached.
For almost the first half of the movie, I'm just judging based on where the little cursor was in the time on when I hit, you know, pause on the menu or whatever.
Was it always at 50 minutes left? That's how it felt like to me.
Yeah, same.
No, there were several times I checked to see how much time was left and was shocked. But no, for almost the first half, I was like, you know what? I'm not hating this. Like, this is for almost the first half. I'm going to go through my positives here.
Yeah, let's do positives because I have like two maybe.
I think that compared to the previous two movies, this I appreciated that this one had overall less storylines going on. The storylines that we got, again, for about the first half, seemed to be a lot more down-to-earth and relatable, like a little more real than they were in the previous two movies that kind of veered into cartoonishness at times, I thought. And like, honestly, there's a scene early on between Jennifer Aniston and Timothy Olyphant when they're just outside their porch and they've sent the kids to school, and Timothy Olyphant, and there's no music playing. There's no sappy rom-com music playing. It's not trying to manipulate you in that way. It's just two actors doing a drama, and he's just like, you know, we got married. And I'm like, this scene is actually kind of working for me. It seems somewhat relatable. And there's no music. They're not trying to, like, you know, force emotion out of me with sappy music. I'm like, is this a real movie? I was questioning if it was
Dave,
a real movie.
I can't stand for this. Come on.
Well, I'll keep going. But as the movie progressed, and I think this is what makes this movie ultimately the worst of the bunch, it pulls the rug out from under you. It's pretending to be a real movie with emotion, but then it pulls the rug out from under you, and suddenly it becomes a farce. You get the racist grandparents.
Who are racist for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, Dave, and don't forget the lovable racist grandparents.
Yeah, they learn to accept one brown person.
That makes it even worse. And then it gets into cartoony areas with, like, Jason Sudeikis. And it's just like, I think ultimately that's why I think this is the worst of the bunch, because it fools you into thinking that it's a real movie. And then it just,
I think you're giving this movie even too much credit to say that there was a rug to pull. I think there was a piece of printer paper on the ground that someone wrote carpet on. And you're like, what is that? And then halfway through, they rip up the piece of paper and you're like, what? Huh? What were you doing? Was there a thing here? I think this was just like the cheapest, shallowest, like, of all of the, like, how many favors can we call in? Let's get Jennifer Garner to be dead wife on karaoke for
two seconds. Yeah.
I agree that this, like, because you said cheapest.
It feels cheap.
It's definitely the one that's playing the most on emotional manipulation. It's like, we all have mothers, or
hey,
if we don't, it's sad.
Mothers,
how
right?
How we're all connected.
Yes.
That's the holiday that connects us all.
I think, like, for me, like, the big thing, if I were to zoom out and just be like, why am I saying this is the worst movie we've ever seen? This is the type of movie, and I think we see Gary Marshall struggle with this in this trilogy, in Valentine's
Day. Human beings?
And New Year's Eve a little bit, but, like, it's supposed to be, like, a Love Actually type movie. You want to be like a cozy blanket. You want to be like, oh, let's put on Mother's Day, and put it on around Mother's Day, and it's like a bowl of chicken soup, and maybe it's trite, sure, but it's, you know, this nice little comforting, cozy movie. But everything in this is just so, like, deeply unpleasant. All the stories, there's like, you know, I was like looking at this movie and like, there's a kid foaming at the mouth who, like, might die, and there's, like, shaky cam going on as they're trying to get this kid to the ER. There's, like, you got the racist parents. You have, like, whatever's going on with Julia Roberts and that wig. Like, nothing feels cozy and nice. It's always, like, icky.
Gary, why would you do that to your old friend Julia? Why would you put her in that wig?
Why isn't there, like, I want an old lady grandma talking about, like, how she was a mother and, like, the mother's struggling to be the mother and, like, nice, cozy mom stuff. Not, like, I don't know, even know what this movie is. Like, I don't want to see Jason Sudeikis rapping.
Well, sure.
Horrible.
I think to that point, though, the movie is both trying to, but, like, not at all trying to do both of, like, oh, it's a fun, fluffy, isn't it? We all have mothers, we all have a relationship with the mothers, while also trying to be like, but it is tough. And it's like, give me a prickly, unpleasant, like, mother drama, or give me the comedy, the ensemble comedy.
Fair,
but you're not doing either, and you think you are.
It opens with this movie tries to open with attitude. It opens with Penny Marshall, bless her soul. Gary roped her into another appearance.
She
into
said,
these
"Sure, Gary, I'll do a VO."
With her voiceover, and it's tracking like a random mom that I don't think we see again. It's just supposed to show like being a mom's hard, and she's you know, it's like all the kids and their iPads and their iPods, this and that, and it just ends, and you think it's going to end with her basically saying, "You basically shouldn't have kids. It ruins your life."
Ah, Mother's Day.
Paige, come on, honey, you have to go to school.
I love being a mother. But what about the other 364 days of the year when you're trying to get your kid to school and you're surviving on very little sleep because you're up all night sewing costumes for the school play and you still got to go to work in the morning? It's about that never-ending driving to soccer, gymnastics, or ballet. It's about getting your kids to look up from their computer or iPad or iPod or iPhone or whatever eye they're looking at.
Paige, wait! Honey, your banana! Hold on! It's okay, honey, just eat the peach. Eat the peach, it's fine.
In other words, it's about being a...
And that's why I wish I had never given birth to you, pieces
yes,
of shit.
That's what it sounded like it was going. And she never comes back again. She's not the wraparound voice.
I think that the mom that she's narrating for is one of the gym friends of Daisy.
Oh, was okay. That? Again,
yeah,
it's like
the
they don't even, you know, tie up that. They never really explain why those, like that gaggle of women... hang out with Jason Sudeikis and really want to set him up with a new mom, even though, like, his wife died less than a year ago, it seems
well,
like.
Well, it's not... Because that was one thing I was wondering to speak to that. Like, initially, it's not revealed that Jason Sudeikis owns this gym until the third act of the movie. So the whole movie, I'm stuck there wondering... Does he just work at the front desk? And if so, why is he talking with all the gym members? Like, why is he so chummy
and
with everybody?
And are they moms at the same school as his kids? Are they just friends of him? Why do they know all the moms? Like,
yeah.
Do they have jobs? No? Cool.
That does remind me. I did appreciate that all the characters in the story were... connected in some way, and not in a way where, like the previous two films, where something crazy happens and they suddenly interact. Like, no, everyone is more or less interacting with everybody throughout this entire movie.
I think that's one positive about this one. It does that interconnected storylines, I think, better than the other two.
Yeah.
Still some low bars here.
Yes.
Speaking
of the gym.
This movie... Yeah, speaking of the gym.
His gym looks like the one Elaine goes to find JFK Jr. Remember that?
Can I just real quick? I just need to get this out of the way. Looking at the movie, you know, you see what some critics thought about it. Peter Bradshaw from The Guardian gave this 1 out of 5 and said it's as feel good and life affirming as a fire in an asbestos factory neighboring a children's hospital.
Oh wow!
God.
He'd been saving that one for just the right movie, you know it.
Well, I think it does get to the crux, though, of like what I was saying earlier about like it's not feel good and life affirming. You want this to be feel good and life affirming, and it's just like it's just not. It makes you like I wish I didn't have a mom. That's like how I felt after watching Mother's Day. It has nothing to do with my actual mom; just everything to do with this movie.
No, it just was like it's so 2016 in like all of the worst, most eye-rolly ways, and you can feel that in all of the holiday trilogy ones where you're like, oh, this is so 2011. This is so like a crystallized few months of 2011.
While Obama was president.
Yeah, that this and this was also made, I think, early 2016 with the idea of like Trump's worrying, of course, but it's not going to turn into an. And you're like, okay, great.
Yeah, everything was good in the world.
But don't worry, everything turned out fine.
I'll go through a couple things I think. You know, scrounging the depths of positives. You know, I like Timothy Oliphant, and one thing I was thinking, I was like, are we supposed to not like him? Because I kind of like him. I don't know.
he's too charming and handsome for his own good. And then
I hated him.
But he lives in a parasite house, and he married Shay yes. Mitchell, who I think at this time was actively playing a high schooler on Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, wow.
This might be one of the only times where the actor didn't have enough, because I love Timothy Olyphant.
Love to see him show up.
The only times that he didn't save, because that character is a scumbag.
Yeah, he
sucks.
And
I was like, oh,
he's just kind of, I mean, I don't know, I don't know.
His girlfriend in this, I think, is canonically 26. I think they make a joke about
she's almost 30, and it's like, okay, great.
And then, I guess I was trying to think, like, I feel like I haven't seen much, like, I never watched much of the Kate Hudson, like, rom-coms and stuff, but I was like, she looks great. I was just like, Kate, she's doing it something in this movie.
Well, yeah, because her job is working out. Yeah. Her job is selling Fabletics leggings. The first time we see her in the movie, she's wearing the most insane outfit. She's like leaning on her front porch, drinking a cup of coffee, and she's wearing like workout shorts and a t-shirt and then a blazer.
Oh yeah, there's like, she's like, I'm gonna be over there working out. Remember
she's
that?
Like, I'm gonna do Pilates in my front yard and go talk to my lesbian sister. I can't remember why I don't talk to my mom anymore. Oh yeah, I guess she's racist and homophobic. Oh well.
Yeah, I guess I've lied about my like the extent that
the Kate Hudson storyline is insane. Like we were talking about, that is Get Out. That
it is
ended,
Get Out. Asif Mandi is in Get Out. In
yeah,
this
that
movie.
Should have ended with him being like, "I am taking my son and getting away from all of
well,
you."
It
insane.
Seems like that's
people.
Happening. Like when it's revealed in that storyline that she lied to him and like said that her parents were both in a dementia clinic in Arizona and that's why they didn't come to the wedding or seemingly know that they had children.
Yeah, she's hiding her parents from her husband and child, and she's hiding her husband and child from her parents. Which, like, I understand why they have cut out contact with.
Well, again, the movie tries to have it both ways, where it's like, sure, give me like a dramatic, a thing about like I have no contact with my parents because they're super racist and homophobic.
Yeah, and it's like there's no.
But like,
arc
why wouldn't
that,
you
like?
And also, why wouldn't you explain that to your husband and be like, I don't talk to them for this reason? He'd probably be like, yeah, I get it. I don't want to meet them either.
Good idea.
Well, it's also revealed that he has issues with his mom too, right?
Yeah, but then also the trying to equate, like, you
we
know.
We all are the same.
We all have a pushy mother-in-law.
Sure,
right?
you have struggles with your overbearing mom, and my mom calls you towel head.
Oh, my God.
I kind of commend him for that scene, for how wild that is, because I'm like, he's like... Like, how is he taking this? But he's actually like, I think he's pretty funny in the way he's reacting a little bit to that. I'm like, he's doing some. I'm like, wow, what a.
And I don't think he's like acting. I think he's just
Well, because
he read the script that morning and it's like, are you kidding me?
This isn't like a scene. He was just yelling at Gary Marshall. And they're like, oh, it works.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of the racist parents.
He's going off page, but it's still good.
Good. I get it. You hate your parents.
No, I don't hate them. They're my parents, so I love them. But, honey, it's just that they're wrong about so much. And they're wrong about how they treat people. They're wrong about how they honor people's differences.
You know what's the worst part is that you lied to them about me. Why? Because it's so terrible to be married to a towelhead. How embarrassing for you. Yeah, they should have called me Dr. Towelhead.
Where are you going?
And speaking of just all of the ways that this movie did so many people dirty, Margot Martindale, I'm so sorry.
Oh, Margot.
I'm sorry this happened to you.
Is that the grandma?
Yeah.
Yes.
She's
so good in pretty much everything she's in. She's one of those
actors. She's a great character actress.
Yes, she elevates whatever she's in. Unfortunately, she found the one project that she couldn't save.
This is what we're saying. Like, Timothy Olyphant can't even cover with charm. Margot Martindale can't even cover it with charm. There's nothing here.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm sorry. This is,
Yeah, it's nuts. It's a nutty movie.
And when they get pulled over And they're doing like police brutality / racism, and you're just like,
well, the weirdest part is like,
don't do this.
The brakes are
it's
out.
It's
just
fine.
Kidding. They're not. They're not
just
out.
Just kidding. Like what?
I just wanted you guys to have a breakthrough.
Like yeah, and like their arc, the racist grandparents' arc of like, well, we didn't learn to like not be homophobic or not racist, but we did learn to love my child's like spouses in spite of the fact they're brown and gay.
Yeah, there's also, we didn't even mention Kate Hudson's sister is a lesbian, and this whole writing is like, it felt very like 80s or 90s to me, of her just cheerfully being like, yeah, I'm married to a woman and we have like a 10-year-old kid together, but like I just tell mom that I'm engaged to an accountant named Steven and it's okay. And it's like, again,
this
is not a human being.
They go to the lengths of like, whenever they have Skype calls with their parents, they like put up a specific or they take down like some specific
it's the
art.
It's the family
them, right?
Picture with Kate Hudson and her her mixed race family. And it's yeah, just really.
It's just icky. It's icky. You don't get a feeling out of this where it's like, again, this movie is supposed to be like, I want it to be a cozy blanket. I want it to be a weighted blanket. And it's just like, ugh.
And I was just kind of like mouth agape.
Yeah.
Well, with all that said, Jackie, what'd you like about the movie?
Yeah.
I liked
Sprouts is a good store.
We get some Sprouts product placements.
I was like
in there.
Sprouts.
You said out loud Sprouts. God, what did I like about this movie?
I'm gonna initiate the timer now.
That you're holding up a gun.
A shot clock it's, now for
Jackie,
I'll
just
comment.
Point out it is 6 minutes shorter than Valentine's Day.
Oh, hey, that's great. Oh. That is great.
Remember when like Sudeikis is like out in the garage with like the sitting next to the VW and put his hand on it? And
just
stuff.
Sadly put his hand on the
car. Yeah, my wife.
That was thinking about my dead wife.
Dead wife.
That set was Jennifer Gardner singing karaoke. It's like. She's like they're in like a wood shack. It says like mess hall on the wall.
Yeah. Oh, because like, she was a Marine and so was he, and now he coaches.
But it just
looks
so
soccer.
Bad.
It looks so bad.
That reminds me of another bit. Speaking of cheap sets and everyone and mentioning that this looks like the cheapest of the three movies, when later in the movie with the racist grandparents, they just keep getting back into the conversation. When they're on the RV and they're driving, it looks like something you would see on Saturday Night Live. Like they have cheap green screen up and like a, you know, just a mock set, and you can tell that it is the fakest looking.
I was thinking Disney Channel original movie vibes.
That's given like this looks worse than that. I think.
Yeah,
like that's almost like putting.
Yeah,
down
you might. Okay, maybe more like Hallmark original.
I thought of something I liked about the movie. It's my old friend Hector Elizondo.
Well, starring as always in the credits, Hector Elizondo.
Love when he gets in the mix. And
I grew up in the Bronx. I used to sell bottle cans.
I like seeing him and Julia together. That was really sweet. Because again,
I used to star in better movies.
Remember Julia?
You remember
the 90s? What a time!
And even though again the charm of these many charming
so many
performers can't quite make up the difference, but seeing him and Julia Roberts on screen together is kind of like, nah, that's nice.
To be honest, it didn't quite get there for me, because when Hector showed up, I was like, oh, thank God, Hector, rescue me from this movie.
I mean, they only give him 30 seconds at a time.
He doesn't get a lot of screen time in this, and I guess he does have the heroic Hector moment when he officiates the wedding at the end. He does, like, a heartwarming thing, but, like, I just didn't feel it as much as I did in the previous two movies. Like, I liked his presence more in the previous two movies, especially Valentine's Day. Like, I think
because he gets an actual role.
Yeah. Yeah. In this one, it's like, sure, you can wear a beret if you want. I don't know if it's appropriate for the scene or your character, but yeah, wear a beret. That's fine.
Hector didn't want to take
notice,
his hat off.
When they were in that like diner talking, having that conversation, it was like lit weird, so you might not have seen it, but did you notice he was holding a cigar?
Yeah, he's got the cigar in like multiple scenes.
That's like a.
I think he just was smoking that.
Yeah,
that wasn't part of the
that's
scene.
What I was
he's
thinking.
Like, I'm gonna keep smoking, Gary.
Is this like Arnold Schwarzenegger where he's like, I'll
just
do it, but I get to be smoking cigars?
Maybe this to indicate that he's, you know, like, he's a tough agent.
I mean, I know 2016 was a long, long time ago, but you could not smoke indoors.
Well, that's why it wasn't lit.
Oh. He just likes
carrying a stinky thing.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Well, before we dissect each of the stories, Mike, any positives you had for this movie?
Yes, there was a bit I laughed at. When Jason Sudeikis raps and then falls and like is basically like paralyzed for
he's
life.
He's like crippled on the ground.
It's like a horrific, again, a deeply unpleasant moment. It does cut to like this little kid who's just tearing up the dance floor while everyone is looking concerned.
It's cute.
I was like, I like this kid. This is the best performance in the movie.
It's just a 5-year-old like tearing shit up.
And just kept the camera rolling.
Yeah. Again, I have to imagine like Asif Mandi. It's like not, this wasn't in the script. This kid was just dancing.
Or they just told him like, I don't know, dance during this part. And he was like, here we go.
Like no music.
Yeah. Just going for it.
Well, I guess this is a good time to get into the one of, I think I wrote it down. There were 5 kind of plot lines through this. The first one being Jennifer Aniston and her ex, Timothy Olyphant, has a new young 26-year-old fiance.
No, new wife. They eloped.
They they are married. Okay, they eloped. And they deal with the problems inherent with that. Like, you know, like, oh, great, my kids want to hang out with your young, hot wife now because she's cool and she makes delicious cookies and she takes them to the Foo Fighters. Oh, and now you're going to Paris. Oh, great.
Once again, what is anybody's job? What is Timothy Olyphant's job?
It's never revealed, I don't think. He's just rich guy.
Rich man who has a Parasite house for himself, and his ex-wife lives in like a mansion as well.
It's one of the like Gary Marshall doesn't understand humanity things where he's just forgotten that people
have
jobs.
Well, everybody has a big house.
I don't know, what is it? Let me think. What do you think
she at least has a job, and that's
like a
part of the plot.
Guy, like a music guy, doesn't he? Isn't there a part talking about like
does he?
Maybe I'm mixing something else up. I don't know.
You might be thinking of Jensen.
Yeah.
you're thinking of your favorite performer, yeah. Jensen. Timothy Olyphant is Jensen's producer. It's
Jensen!
I would have loved if they brought in an Easter egg from New Year's
they
Eve.
Did.
If Jason Sudeikis was singing a Jensen song at karaoke instead of the rap, maybe?
Yeah, the big crossover universe, man.
Did you say they did?
I'm pretty sure. Oh. I don't know. But I think that when they go to the hospital, the nurse that they're checking in with is the same nurse from Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They look the same.
I wonder if Patrick Dempsey is walking around still cheating on his wife.
Yeah, we have to see Patrick Dempsey like come through and slide off a wedding ring.
Well, I think, guys, we got to rewatch Valentine's Day
There could have been a deleted scene with Patrick Dempsey going into the 24-hour fitness, talking to Jason Sudeikis, saying like, okay, I would like to buy a membership for my ladies. You know, here is the address for each of my ladies.
And then Jason Sudeikis is like, that's Sandy with 2 sons.
I wonder if like, I do think.
No, don't worry about it. We got a gym member's code here.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah. Got it.
I do think the ghost of the ghost of Robert De Niro was haunting some of this movie.
Oh no! Yeah, he showed up.
Ryan, you didn't see it, but in New Year's Eve, one of the plots was Robert De Niro dying.
He died.
Wow,
it's fun. New Year's Eve.
Yeah, he died on New Year's Eve.
That's pretty cool.
His ghost had to come down to Atlanta.
New Year's Eve is more of the warm weighted blanket that Mike was referring to. You know, it's just something you can pull over you and you feel all good inside when you watch it.
It's really, really funny because I just recently re-listened to Valentine's Day. And one of Mike's big critiques was that it was too fluffy. There wasn't any.
Wow.
Shot.
So, like,
called out.
This one.
I'm the problem.
Did the opposite for you. And I guess New Year's Eve, whatever it's called, had like it was down the middle.
Too hot. That one was too cold. This one was not just right.
And Kara, you are like kind of selling me a bit on like New Year's Eve is low-key the worst one because it is like so nothing. Like
I remember it being nothing.
This is an ugly mess, but that's something, I guess.
it gives you something to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching this, like, I remember watching New Year's Eve being like, what are we gonna, like, what is there to say?
It's just kind of okay for this. Like you were starting to get into Dave, like the different storylines. It's just right, like it cuts to the Sudeikis at like. It's like the second scene is him at like a gravestone.
It's him and his two daughters at a gravestone.
It's 100% the Batman v Superman beginning with Bruce Wayne.
That's another problem this movie has is Whiplash, but for the transitions. Do you want to know what happens right before that moment?
Oh, what happened?
Was it the free ball in line?
And this is the storyline with the aspiring British comedian and his girlfriend who will not marry him.
Yeah, his baby mama issues. Who does not want to marry him. And I guess it's a her problem and not a him problem.
Isn't it crazy that the girl doesn't want to get married?
Of these characters work at a bar and they're talking. You know, he's like, oh, I got this big thing, this comedy show I'm going to do. Can you watch the kid tonight? Blah, blah, blah. And then it shows the club owner who says,
I'm not paying you to reproduce again.
Sorry, boss.
Cut to Jason Sudeikis with his hand on his wife's grave looking forelorn.
I know.
Awesome.
And that happens several times throughout this movie. You'll get tonal whiplash between scene to scene where you're like, whoa, these do not line up at all.
I was going to say in that first scene at the bar, Shorty's named after the bar owner who is a little person. Do you get the joke?
Yeah.
But that apparently every woman who works at this bar is either pregnant or has a baby.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
Mother's Day.
You know, mothers.
I want to say about this storyline that Jason Sudeikis is, because you get a lot of mother's tropes. You also get the, oh my God, the dad doesn't know anything trope.
He has to be a mother now. He has to buy tampons.
So now he's just like, I don't know what to do. I can't even say the word tampon. I'm like,
Your wife's been dead for like months and months. You haven't had to buy tampons yet?
Like, what has she been doing? And what, like, I understand that he's sad because it's, you know, his wife died. But what kind of an idiot thinks that they're just going to ignore Mother's Day when it's the first one that your children are having?
Like, you would talk to your kids. You'd be like, let's sit, have a lunch, or
you do something, even if it's just like, hey, you want to, like, order pizza and just kind of, you know, have a nice night.
But also, like, if you're going to be like, we're not going to talk, we're not doing this, I can't deal with it. It's like, you took them to the grave, like, the day before Mother's Day.
Yeah, I get the feeling they're weekly visiting the grave of their dead mom.
Yes.
Well, actually, that's up in the air, because I think there's also I was thinking about it. It was in the back of my head. There's an issue with time in this movie. It seems as if long periods of time go by, but the movie doesn't really seem to address it. You're sort of left to kind of infer, like, oh, I guess a lot of time just went by and the movie didn't tell us.
I don't know.
Well, because at one point, Jennifer Aniston gets a job working for Julia Roberts' character, who we haven't really mentioned a ton yet, other than her wig, she is this QVC host that throughout most of the movie just sort of randomly inserts herself into the movie.
Like selling ugly jewelry.
Selling ugly jewelry in totally non sequitur scenes. It's like I don't understand the editing logic of a lot of these scenes. It's like Julia Roberts just shows up. And at some points, and this is a common movie trope, but here it's the most bizarre. It's always a movie trope where you see, like, you know, oh, somebody's just happens to be watching the news and they're talking about the very specific story thing. Whereas in this movie, just everyone happens to be watching right before bed a QVC channel. Who's watching QVC before they go to bed?
No, they're
Barry Marshall.
I was genius. He just has to play all the time.
I'm Adam Freeman. Thanks for joining me here on HSN from our headquarters in St. Petersburg, Florida. Right now, I'd like to send it over to Atlanta, Georgia, where the very lovely Miranda Collins is on her book tour.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Atlanta. Hello, viewers. So Mother's Day is getting so close, and we have these gorgeous crystal mood pendants. It is the perfect gift for mom. These genuine quartz crystal mood pendants change color with your mood. Now, wouldn't it be nice to know if your mom is happy or sad? Or mad. Oh, we have just sold our 800th pendant. Bingo.
No, that on that note, I think it's the first scene, like, in the gym with Jason Sudeikis and his, like, gaggle of gals. They and these are women, like, in their, like, 30s, maybe 40s. And at one point, it comes on the TV, Julia Roberts' QVC channel, and they're like, yes. Oh, my God! Oh, it's her! Yes. And they're obsessed, and it's like... Gary, people under 70, like, well, I don't recognize QVC hosts.
I had that thought, too, where it's like, how is Julia Roberts this big star on QVC? And I think they hint that she used to be a bigger star.
Oh, okay.
But they never explain what she did.
Yeah, was it's she like, okay, an actress?
Yeah,
singer?
They never say. Hector Elizondo, yeah, she said, when she's talking to Hector Elizondo in the later part of the movie, she's like, I'm your only, like, star or whatever.
Yeah.
Client, whatever. So apparently Hector Elizondo and Julia Roberts used to be a lot bigger than they were, although we never find out what they did. It's never explained. All we see is that every character in this movie goes gaga over some lady on the QVC channel. It's like, it doesn't make sense.
Like, maybe they had some line in there, but like...
It's just in this world it is, you know?
But truly, yeah, no, give me like 2 more seconds of it being like, oh, like, I loved her movies in like the 80s, and now she's like, you know, oh, it's so cute. Yeah. That she's, but nothing, like,
it's so basic. Like, when when Julia Roberts finds out that she encounters her daughter that she had to give up a long time ago. Her daughter, by the way, who is also
a mother,
yes. Yeah. But she is the person who will not marry the aspiring British comedian. So again, Jack Whitehall, the interconnectivity.
But okay, and as soon as we that character, she's like, I'm adopted and I tracked down my birth mom. I was like, oh, it's Julia Roberts. It's definitely Julia Roberts. And then it is.
Yeah. Dave, I want to ask something.
Do you have a mother?
Why you said the train was like on the rails. Like, what was going through your mind? Like, as it started, like, why was this working? What?
Well, I
what was working?
To clarify, I wasn't saying that this was like in the first half. I wasn't thinking this was great. I was just like, this isn't a total train wreck.
Did you
like,
have some you know, of the extra irradiated live wire before we started watching?
No, I did not. I was totally sober and watching this and just thinking. I think mainly the scene that did it was the Jennifer Aniston, Timothy Oliphant scene on the porch. I was like, it just shocked me that there was no sappy music playing and it was just allowing these two actors to have a scene together and try to be real. Like, it just seemed to me at that time of the movie. I want to clarify that because the movie then quickly goes off the rails.
That's fair. This was like 6 minutes into the movie, so.
Well, I mean, like, the first 20 minutes, there's a couple of crazy things, like, oh, we're making a womb float. I'm sure this won't come up later.
You know what lesbians are like. They're always making a womb float.
There was some questionable stuff where I'm like, this is a little goofy. But, like, I was just surprised that some of the stories were allowed to be somewhat down to earth. Like, they weren't.
Sure.
Like, the characters themselves, for the most part, with the exception of the racist grandparents, didn't seem like cartoon caricatures. They seemed like almost normal people. I was like, it surprised me. But then the movie, at some point,
you need to get out of the store more, Dave.
What's up?
You need to get out of the store more. Meet some people.
No arguing that. But yeah, the movie quickly goes off the rails, and just like every single story, maybe with the exception of Jack Whitehall and his girlfriend who has abandonment issues, that one they don't go too crazy. The closest they get is, oh, I gotta take my baby up on stage for my stand-up set because I couldn't get a sitter. It's like, and then he has, you know, they have an exchange with an audience member, but it's like
there is that
crazy.
I thought the most I'm not gonna say best moments of the movie, but like it had my attention the most was the wrap-up of that story where Julia Roberts is like on TV with the adopted
with her grown daughter
with her grown daughter she gave away for adoption, and the grown daughter like ends up proposing to a British man on TV. But the way it's like done, I was like, is she gonna like kill herself on air?
It's
like
so somber. They're like, I'm here with a very special guest,
and joining me today, yeah, my special guest, my daughter,
and we're going to slit our wrists together.
And she just like stands up and then just like kneels facing the TV. I'm like, what is this? Is like a beheading video? Yes. Like, this is like,
how does she kneel?
Yeah, it's like deeply unsettling. She kneels and you don't know what's happening at first, like.
Now, since it's Mother's Day, and I am a mother, I'd like to introduce a very special guest, my daughter, Kristen. She has something very special she would like to say.
Father of my child, light of my life. Zach, will you marry me? And because I made you wait so long, I'd like to do it today while my mother's still here. Well, will you? The show's pre-taped.
But good thing we had QVC on. If he hadn't seen that taping,
everyone,
and then she shows up and she's like, "Well,
it's like one step away from like it would have been a cut to like Times Square, and they're playing the QV, and everyone's standing watching."
It just occurred to me that's why that particular couple is watching QVC because she knows that's her mother. Okay, that's explained now. Okay,
oh, why they're watching QVC before bed?
Of course she would be watching QVC because that's her mom.
And I guess he's like, some Americans are just like that, I guess.
She always insists on watching QVC before bed. It's very strange.
My biological mom is on QVC. I have to watch it all the time.
I have to watch. She's selling shitty jewelry. I love this.
You know, you watch this every night, but you never buy anything. Why do you watch it?
She's selling the Jar Jar Binks alarm clock. Misa, miss my mom.
Has stand up in like a movie ever like worked?
No.
Is there
funny
one?
Funny
there
people? One? I would say.
But still, like I like funny people, but I'm just trying to think like.
Oh, what's that one? Oh, what the fuck is it called? It's so good.
Like the Joker.
The Joker.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. The big.
Oh yeah, the big sick is that.
That did work.
That does. I like but that. I feel like there wasn't like extended stand up in that.
He has his little rant. Leo.
Yeah. Well, the problem is it's always manufactured. It's not like it is on Seinfeld where they just happen to plop down a camera during one of his sets. You know what I mean?
Like little bites that they don't mind. It's just like little wraparounds for the story. So it's just, it doesn't really, in Seinfeld, never really bothered me. But for some reason,
it's not in media res.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with movies if for some reason for me. It's almost like I've always had that issue with the end of the movie concert scene, you know, kind of thing.
Yes. You and your end of the movie concert.
It just
end of the
nuts.
Movie stand-up scene.
No, like, it's just so, I don't know. It's like a weird, it's a hard thing to replicate. I would love to see it like,
I think so much of it is like, because they'll cut to, you know, B-roll audience laughing, but it's always like not quite the right laugh level.
Or like the timing is
the timing, yeah, the timing's all off.
And you're like, no one's going to be, I mean, I get it, it's make-believe, but no one's like open mouth guffawing.
Yeah, because these jokes, chapters. These don't feel, the jokes are like, take my wife, please. And then just cuts like, ah!
I think it may be, something to do with the shooting and editing. Like you almost have to do it like as if you're in the back watching or something. When it's shot like a comedy special, it never works or something.
Well, fake laughter in movies is hard. Yeah. Like laughing in movies and pretending that something is funny in a movie is hard because you know it just seems artificial.
Probably of all of us, I enjoyed this movie the most. I was laughing. I cried a little. The thing that made me laugh the most, like I was dead laughing, is during this part where John Lovitz is like, that's the cutest baby I've ever seen. And then Jack Whitehall goes, oh, can you hold her while I do my set? And he just, in the perfect John Lovitz, just goes, no!
Yeah.
No!
$1,000.
Zach Zim, you're in the finals. By default. Good for you. Oh. That is the most adorable baby I've ever seen.
Would you be able to watch her while I do my set?
No.
It's great. Love seeing him show up. I also love that like the button on that is like a second later we see him and he's holding his dog again. It's like the same size as the baby.
He has a funny voice. Kara, what made you cry in this movie?
What made me cry? Yeah. I think when Jennifer Aniston was talking to her kids about not because the little boy is like, I'll throw away Tina's present if you want me to.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jennifer Aniston is like, no. And I feel like that is just such a cliche mom movie moment. You know, when, like, you have it in Stepmom, you have it in this one, where it's like, that's, like, what makes them realize it's not about me, it's about the kids. I love you. It's okay if more people also love you.
So
Stepmom, we should have watched. We should have watched Stepmom.
That got me thinking, yeah, I think Gary watched Stepmom and stole some things. If you recall, in Stepmom, there's a scene when Julia Roberts is like, is the new mom. It's like, I'm going to take the kids to a Pearl Jam concert. And Susan Sarandon is like, Pearl Jam? But then she ends up taking that idea, stealing it, and she takes the kids to Pearl Jam, and Julia Roberts is like, the fuck? And we get a similar thing here where it's like, you know, new hot wife is going to be like, I'm taking them to the Foo Fighters concert.
You know what kids love? The Foo Fighters.
But then Jennifer Aniston's like, I'm going to do one better and make an awesome fun party with clowns, llamas, a bouncy water slide.
Dave, no. Because the fact that you said new wife is doing that is what makes Timothy Olyphant even more of an asshole. Because this guy is the one doing all this BS. He's like, and like for the, like at the end of the movie when he's like, we got to take this kid to the hospital. I was like, oh, you actually care about your children? That's good to see.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, the new wife, every time we see her, like, she's perfectly nice. Like, she's maybe a little overeager.
She did have a name. We should probably call her by her name, Tina.
Tina, that's what
she's
it was.
Very
sorry.
She's nice. She doesn't seem like she wants to intrude at all. She's very like, oh, yeah. Hey, I don't remember Jennifer Aniston's name. She's like, you're great.
Oh, yeah. You know? No, and that's Sandy, the thing where, like, she's going to divorce him, too, in, like, 5 years when she realizes, like, oh, I have a life to live.
It's Timothy Olyphant is the bad guy.
He's the villain.
Gary Marshall's the villain.
Well, Gary Marshall's the villain. On the topic, though, I feel like this was distracting me the whole time. How old are half of these kids supposed to be? We get a shout of like one of Jennifer Aniston's sons is 13, but the other one like is being treated as anywhere between like 5 and 9. And then like they're doing the movie thing where they're picking up like an obviously too old kid and like putting him on the hip. I think we had with like the lesbian couple's kid, and it's all very just like, it's so awkward to watch because you have an actual toddler in the mix there too for like the baby side of things. And then like Jason Sudeikis' daughters, who I guess one of them is old enough to drive, and the other one, again, maybe she's 12, maybe she's supposed to be 8. It makes me feel like they just didn't decide anything.
We know that the oldest daughter is 16 because she says it. And then the guy she likes, Tommy, looks 16.
Sure.
But the people that he's playing soccer with look like 40.
Yeah. And then, we cut to, like, her soccer team and every other extras. Yeah, like a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
God, I just saw Julia Roberts spent 4 days filming and was paid $3 million.
Whoa. Good.
How much do you think Jennifer Garner got paid to be in the Dead Wife videotape?
It doesn't say.
I bet it was
like half a mil.
I bet it was a pretty
penny.
God,
can you imagine? I mean, at that point,
put on
it's
a
just
shitty
like
wig
a brand
for four
deal.
Days. Yeah.
Like that God, can
what?
The budget of the movie was $25 million. I have to imagine like 90% of that was paying the stars.
Yeah, that's why they filmed it in Atlanta for $2.
Yeah, that's why it's filmed like on like someone's backyard, basically the whole movie.
It is. It does look like it's filmed in someone's backyard.
Like a nice backyard, but a backyard nonetheless.
Yeah. Like they rented out like a mansion.
Well, then
in Atlanta.
Yeah, so it's someone's backyard, and they put up like, you know, green screens and stuff. Like I swear, there's a part where Jennifer Aniston's going up the Timothy Olyphant's parasite house, and it cuts to her angle like out from the doorway, and I'm like, oh, they have it her background green screened in. Or something.
This was
like
actually the first movie to use the volume.
Yeah. But
Yeah, Timothy Olyphant, when he started working on The Mandalorian, is like, oh, no, actually, I have worked with this technology before on a little movie called Mother's Day.
On a little gem called Mother's Day. Don't
it was also
tell
the
me
first,
I haven't heard of it.
Also the first movie.
It was actually
movie,
the movie that pioneered this technology.
It pioneered the volume and AI writing.
Well, I think as far as the storylines go, we basically wrapped up Aniston and Oliphant's storyline. Basically, she realizes, like, oh, the kid has an asthma scare, and then Timothy Oliphant finally jumps into action as a father.
Well,
Tina
was trying to call her for help.
Tina was calling Aniston, saying, like, hey, he's having an asthma attack, I'm scared, et cetera, et cetera. They take him to the hospital. But before that, Aniston has that character breakthrough where she's like, you know what? Tina's okay. She's trying. She clearly loves you guys. She made you specific cookies to each of your tastes. So clearly she loves
remember
you.
Remember when Jennifer celebrate her had, they were at like the play. Oh, we forgot about the play with the wiener.
Oh, yeah, there's a
little
wiener joke. It's...
That was funny, actually, I thought. But
I liked the wiener joke.
She had her purse down. She's like, that was for my purse. Like, not for Tina to sit down.
We need
Tina,
boundaries,
you can't
Tina.
Sit here. You can't. Oh, she's like,
yeah,
oh,
Tina wants
I wish
to
I can do
sit
it,
next
but...
to her to see, like, the kids perform. And then she's like, that seat was for my purse, Tina.
The kids are very excited. And
Sandy.
Later, we are going to be featuring the Fillmore Band in concert. How about that?
What are you doing here? Oh, I didn't think you'd mind. I kind of mind. I had to hear Peter's riff. We were up late last night working on it.
You were working on Peter's riff?
Yeah, I was in an all-girl band in high school. Oh, gosh, Peter's gotten so good. You know, we just want to encourage his music, so we're taking the boys to the Foo Fighters concert this weekend. But
what?
Don't say anything to Peter. It's a surprise. And don't even get me started on Dave Grohl. Oof. Don't tell Henry.
Okay. Tina. That's it. I'm done with surprises. I really am. This week, enough surprises. Seriously.
Okay, is something wrong?
Yes, something is wrong. I got here an hour early so I could get a front row seat and have a perfect camera angle and watch my children. And now you're sitting right here next to me.
Because the seat was open.
That was for my purse. My purse's seat, okay? My purse's seat is right here.
Kara, you just reacted in a way. I'm curious, what was that about?
I did not like the wiener joke.
It's about the head nurse. She's in all three. Mother's Day, New Year's Eve.
Wow,
and
she's the connect. She's like the.
Okay.
Because she is Gary Marshall's wife.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wait, isn't. I could be wrong about this too, but has Larry Miller been in all of these in some cameo?
Yes.
Role?
Oh yeah, you get your Larry Millers, you get your Hector Elizondo, you know.
But I do want to talk about the purse theme because obviously, yes, that's a ridiculous thing to freak out about. But it is like
I guess she's making an excuse.
It's a microcosm of the.
It's like a misplaced anger for the are brand new here. You're trying to take over my kids. You didn't put in the work of getting here an hour early to get here, and now you just want all of the the glory that comes with being in the front row.
Yeah, I figured that, but it was just like I was just like she's not. She's thinking you saved the seat for her, I guess, but
yes,
from her side. I don't know, she seems nice.
Friends,
I'm saying,
right?
She seems nice.
Yes.
Timothy Oliphant, they're playing cards, they're having
yes.
He's not that bad. Maybe, I don't know. I'm in his camp. Whatever.
Okay.
He's rich. He's hot.
Ryan.
He's rich and hot. I don't know what to say. That's what they do. They marry 25-year-olds,
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's a friend. Scumbag. He has no communication. He doesn't give a shit about his kids, apparently.
Yeah, he's not a scumbag because he married the 25-year-old.
That's true. He does that little run.
He relies completely on his wife to do everything kid-related.
The chores.
And then suddenly, when he's going to marry this new girl, he's like, no, I'm a great dad. No, you're not. You suck. You don't care about your ex-wife because you didn't even tell her you were, like, dating this person again. You got married and didn't tell her. How is she supposed to react to that?
Yeah, that's a red flag.
She is in shock.
Well, it's because they have... You see this on the porch and you see it at the end. They have this very unique relationship now that they're divorced. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the movie, she makes a joke about like, oh, I kind of like Jason Sudeikis. He wears the beard well. And Oliphant says something like, the magic's back. We're joking again. Everything's back to normal, right?
So, who's Captain Pink Pants?
Oh. First of all, they're salmon.
Oh, is that what those were?
And they're cute.
Anyone else you know about?
Oh, trust me. I'll shock you when it's permanent.
Yeah. And does he know how you hate beards?
Oh. You know what? I think it's actually quite sexy on him.
Oh. And we're back to normal.
Yeah.
Oliphant wants, the character wants it all. He wants to do the classic, like, got my new hot wife, and maybe sometimes I'll fuck around with my old wife. And
yeah, as Aniston says earlier,
he's probably going to get his way because he's so handsome.
Yeah, she says in the beginning of the movie, I think he was checking me out. And then her sister, Kate Hudson, is like, are you guys going to get back together? You know,
I wrote down, no.
Don't do it, girl.
Sorry, please. Don't go down this road.
But Jennifer Aniston ultimately has a breakthrough. She's like, you know what? She can keep her little potato head man that you made for her as well for Mother's Day. I'll keep mine, and this is nice. And that's basically sums up their storyline. But anyone have any closing thoughts on that, on story one?
Between those two, not Jen and Jason Sudeikis.
No, I mean, it was, again, just jarring because the whole time I was like, Shay Mitchell was actively playing a high schooler at this time, right? Like, obviously I know she's an adult woman playing a high schooler, but...
Honey, it's okay. She only plays a high schooler on television. Yeah. She's not actually a high schooler, okay? It's okay for me to marry her.
Yeah. She tried her best.
Well, that's a good transition. Speaking of marriage, let's get into the non-marriage of Jake Whitehall and his girlfriend. Well, I guess
how come she wasn't somebody?
TV actress? I want to say
I recognized her.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah,
she was in Tomorrowland.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
She was in What to Expect When You're Expecting. She was in this great movie called The Sleepover.
Oh, wow. She also plays a lot of The Sleepover. She also plays a lot of high schoolers and et cetera. Yeah. And the whole thing with, like, she doesn't want to get married even though they have a baby together. And her thing was like, it's because I need to meet my birth mother because I was adopted. It's like, just say you don't want to fucking marry this guy. Like,
yeah, it seemed like she was dancing around it. Like that whole scene she has with Kate Hudson where she explains why she doesn't want to get married. I have abandonment issues because my mom abandoned me. I'm like, so wait, does that mean that you are afraid your husband, who is actively wanting to marry you repeatedly, you think he's gonna?
But she has another line where she's like, "I'm something of like I'm so young, like I don't even know myself." It's like that says to me, you don't want to get tied down to this fucking guy. Yeah. You want to keep sowing your oats, and you
That's
should.
That's what it felt like. Yeah, exactly.
She was like, "I have a reason why I don't want to marry him, but I haven't told anyone. I don't even know who I am." What?
Are you okay? I love Zach, but there's a reason I'm afraid of marriage. The truth is, I have no idea who the hell I am.
That's a big one.
I was adopted.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that adopted. Baby laugh. She basically says, like, why don't you want to marry him? Well, .. I'm adopted.
In 2016, it's like, oh, yeah. Okay. And
I was just like, is that supposed to be a big dun-dun-dun moment? Like,
she was
okay.
Like, I've never told anybody.
It feels like a Gary Marshall sitcom meet from, like, the 70s.
Yeah,
yes. I've never told you this before, but I was adopted. Oh, my God.
And now you want to leave me, right? Just like my birth mom left me. And then the reveal we get that, you know, Julia Roberts is her mom, gave her up for adoption because she got pregnant when she was, like, a teenager. And it's like, yeah. That's not a surprise. That's you'd be like, oh my God, so you did want me? And it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know you.
This is.
I mean, sure, I'm not adopted. I get that there's like feelings that come with it, you know, but it's like one of those things that the movie's like, it's writing checks that it's not cashing with these, like some of these subject matters. Like it's throwing out these like heavy subject matters and then like not doing anything with them, and like that it ends up treating it like very flippantly in a way.
Yeah.
And things always get resolved in like 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like this, that's kind of all there is. There's a setup for the story, and then immediately she goes to see her mom, Julia Roberts. They reconcile. Well, I guess there's not so much a reconcile. It's like, I exist. Like, oh yeah, I knew that I knew that.
Yeah, I knew, actually. I have this photo album.
Yeah, and then it's just like, oh, you don't want money? Oh, I can come to your wedding? Okay, great. She decides to marry him.
Also, conveniently, her adopted parents are dead.
You get married credits. It's like...
yes. To kind of skip ahead, like, they get married, and the movie just kind of ends. Like, there's... like.
Yeah, it's the end of life. You get married.
Did it feel abrupt to anyone else, the way this movie ended?
Yeah.
One part that was funny, but I don't think fit in with the movie, was when she handed over the baby to Julia Roberts to hold, and she was like, it was sliding.
Oh yeah, she was like so bad at it.
But I was like, but the last scene that we had with her was like, she wanted to have you, but her parents didn't give her a choice. So she like wanted to be maternal, and I think that kind of is like the opposite of what they were doing with that joke. And so I think they did a lot of things for like jokes. And you're just like, that's kind of undoing the other stuff that you did.
Yeah.
That could have been a really nice, heartfelt moment when she's like holding the baby wrong. It's like, no, you gotta support
her.
You do it like this.
You know, and that's it. Of her daughter having to show her how to hold a baby.
Yeah, that would have been great. That would have been Mother's Day, I tell you.
Now that would have been a Mother's Day. Get Lovitz back in the mix. You should have paid him more for more than 5 minutes.
And then they want to have the wedding at the bar because that's where they met. And then
that's the only set they have. They can't.
Yeah, that's why.
It's the only set they have. So yeah, we got to get married.
And
here.
We only have it for another hour, so we really do have to pick things up.
Yeah, she puts on her finest gray wool sweater for her wedding dress.
She's wearing that ugly crocheted dress with those ugly 2016 boots that I wore at the time too. And there's so many kids there. Like, all these blonde children show up to be various flower girls. And then they get married. And, Hector Elizondo is there chomping on his stogie. Love to see it.
Oh, we should say that the aspiring comedian won the $5,000 with the help of his child.
He didn't tell any jokes, but the baby was cute.
It was mostly prop work, you know. Yeah. That was kind of his routine.
Did a little prop work, a little crowd work. Here's $5,000.
What's the deal with like the bar owner and like we're gonna get rich off this or something like that?
I don't know. It's like, is he supposed to be like, a weekly headliner or something? It was a comedy contest.
To Hector Elizondo, who's like, you know, like, yeah, we'll spare no expense. It's like, but there doesn't appear to be any expense spared in the scene at the wedding. It's just a bunch of people there, and I guess they hired some local gymnast children to come in
to do some cartwheels.
Do some cartwheels and then, you know, give them the ring or something. I didn't understand.
Yeah, I didn't understand any of that stuff.
Were those the kids from the beginning that were playing with the soccer ball? The executive.
Yeah, the executive.
That's right.
Whatever.
It's so weird that they're there.
I know they show up and start doing cartwheels, and you're like, okay.
I literally forgot about them earlier in the movie when they kicked that soccer ball into the foul.
That was the first prequel to Ted Lasso that we were watching.
Yeah. We do get Jason Sudeikis soccer coach happening. Wow. I think we're done with Julia Roberts' storyline. But
he's like, for this whole movie, he's kind of, I mean, he has kind of his vibe. He's just kind of like, oh yeah, this is kind of how I talk and stuff, and
I'm Ted Lasso.
I have 0% body fat and a jaw chiseled out of stone, I guess.
But he's just kind of his vibe. And I was just like, is he like embarrassed to like say anything in this kind of a little bit?
Yeah,
he does feel a little.
He's
embarrassed to be
there.
It's like showing. It's coming off the screen a little bit, and even though
because he knows that he's playing dead wife guy, and he's just like, God.
Yeah, I'm just like, there's a whole thing about which is kind of a cute little meet cute about the two dot. You know, she has two daughters. You know,
they made two sons. Sandy with two sons.
Yeah, two sons.
God,
Sandy with two sons. There's something. Okay, it this is how it was with Love Actually, kind of thing where we were watching it. Where we're like, oh, we kind of want to stay in this story. Like with these movies, it's sort of like, why are you trying to spread this out when you could just stay in this story?
The same with New Year's Eve, where like, hey, how about you take this one storyline that has like a good spark to it and just make a movie about that?
I would
love
to see Sudeikis and Aniston like in a little, you know.
Yeah, you know, a couple of middle-aged meet-cutes. Yeah, exactly.
You want to know a good version of that, of kind of this story of like two, you know, they have like two people who have kids and they're older. Enough said. It's a movie with James Gandolfini and Jennifer.
I've never seen that, but I really want to. And I feel like that movie. After this movie left me cold, like there was no weighted blanket. Yes. I feel like that might be a good blanket
movie. That
would movie.
Be a good antidote. That is an actual movie that, you know, they're like, oh, this is an actual story. We can stretch this out over the course of a movie and develop
that is
things.
That. I just watched movies. That's a good Mother's Day movie.
That is, yes. That is a good Mother's Day movie. Yes. Check that out. But this Sudeikis story, there's not a lot here. Basically, as we said, his wife, Jennifer
his
Garner.
His wife is dead.
She sings karaoke in a cardboard box.
Yeah. It's really sad. And you know what? His daughters are growing up. And that's
his daughters are growing up.
Tough.
They're emotionally mature. They're starting to date. And he can't handle that. He can't even write out the word tampon on the shopping
list. I'm just going
to
put T.
Right,
I'll remember what that is.
But y'all know what that is.
That was his line. He had.
Oh yeah, he was free balling, as
but
they
what's
said.
Funny about this is that and throughout the course of his story, he kind of runs into Jennifer Aniston. He's attracted to her. She works out at his gym.
I kind of like when he sees her like having a meltdown in her car, and he's just kind of like, "I'm not. Don't worry, I didn't see that.
He's
I'm
like,
not. Seeing
I'm not
this.
Engaging with that. You know." but his story is there's not a lot here. Basically, he realizes like, oh, you know what? Like, there's a certain point when he wakes up, the kids are gone. He doesn't know where they are. It turns out they both went to their mom's grave because it's Mother's Day.
Did you
where
know
where would they be?
Where are my kids? My child,
my daughters.
but the way his story, this might be the flimsiest resolution of all the stories. He's like, you know what, I will celebrate Mother's Day. I'll put up a bunch of balloons and I'll buy everybody gifts.
I'll
and
throw a Mother's
again,
Day
right?
party.
Now you guys like me?
Yeah.
And that's just how his story ends. So, he basically buys their happiness and is like,
and then
okay,
breaks
we will
his leg.
Celebrate Mother's Day. Breaks his leg, and that's it.
It would have been like more meaningful if he did it not in a party setting, because he gave the younger kid the karaoke machine because their mom loved karaoke.
Oh, of course.
Expressly that's told right. us and showed us. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I think they even had
this movie doesn't have it all worked.
I think
out.
They even had one of the daughters say, "Mom loved karaoke."
Yes.
Okay. See, you're right. See, Kara knows that Gary knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to poke holes in this. I'm like, no, it's all connected.
It is funny on the poster looking at it. I think I saw this in Letterboxd. Someone pointed this out, how it says Mother's Day and it has Aniston, Julia, Kate Hudson, and also Jason Sudeikis. And like,
Mothers.
Mothers. Oh. He's the mother. Maybe that's what he's
he
trying to say.
He is mother.
One thing I did like about the Jason-Jennifer storyline is that they didn't get together in the end. They were just like, yeah, maybe I'll see you.
It's a kind of flirty, like, hey, yeah, you know.
They're like, we're both not ready. Obviously, they like each other. That's why they act like goofy.
No, they go into that yoga room in his gym. That's what they're doing next. That's mm-hmm. the next step of the story.
Yeah, he's going to watch her do yoga.
Oh, yeah.
But accidentally, he's just gonna. Like,
don't worry, he's not a perv.
Like, oh, I wasn't looking. Sorry, I wasn't.
He's gonna walk in, he's gonna pay one of the other gym members to see if her boobs are real. Like, just go into the sauna and just
please, Lonnie Love.
Dave, they're real and they're magnificent.
Well, I think that wraps up for Jason.
Yeah, there's not much to his story, really.
He learns to accept that his daughters will grow up and that his wife is dead. And you know what? Things are going to be okay.
And you know what? And now we only have one story left, and it is the worst one.
Yeah.
Racist grandparents.
Racist homophobic grandparents.
I mean, what is there to say? Like, it's
they're
like,
from Texas.
It's definitely like playing on the new, at the time, MAGA thing.
New.
But they like won't go full... They if this movie had any guts, they would have MAGA hats on.
Yeah,
Well, he has that. Kate Hudson's dad, I wrote this down, had a shirt that said Hardcore American on it.
Yeah, Hardcore American.
It's like it's all, you know, heavily coded. But again, they don't have the balls to be like, fuck Trump, fuck these people. They're like, we can all learn to get along, right?
And they will like... They go hard on like the racist stuff. Like
they go shockingly
hard. Yeah. Like there's like a line, there's some line where they're like saying he's like the Margot Martindale has just met the mom of the
she walks into like a Skype call with
the mom of
with the Indian mother.
Of Asif Mandi's mom. And she says something like, I don't know, or maybe this is to someone else, but there's a line in there that's basically like, There's like one line where it's like, my grandson is too brown.
No, no. Okay, because the kid's name is Tanner. Tanner, and she says, I can see why they call him that. He's a little dark.
Yeah.
It's which is shocking. There,
and there's also, there's some line where it's like,
I know which one you're trying to get at, Mike. Is it the one where the mother reveals that, oh, I'm actually from Las Vegas? And, then Margo Martindale goes, oh, that's great. That means you're not very far away from sand.
When you get homesick.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Hey, what time is it in India?
India? Who knows? I live here in Las Vegas. No taxes, and I play the slots anytime I want.
Hey, smart move. Plus, you can drive 20 miles in any direction and find some sand when you get homesick, right?
I don't get that joke, but it sounds racist and funny.
And then the mother, and again, this I was just like, oh, man.
How does that Skype call not just end?
Like the character then says something like, well, I don't know what that means. It sounds racist, but also funny. I'm just like, oh, my God.
It's okay to be a little bit racist.
We're all a little bit
That's
racist.
That's what this movie posits. Yeah.
And it's like...
We're all the same.
Because again, they set it up as like, these are equal things. The fact that, you know, Margot Martindale hates gay people and brown people and... Asamandi's Indian mother like didn't want him to marry a white woman, and it's like, well, yeah, because she knew that she came from this family and she didn't want to deal with that probably, and she was right. But no, she meets the racist grandma equivalent. She's like, oh yeah, but isn't it great? Look at the cute baby. He's oh, it's so nice. And
because children bring us all together.
You know, it's the holiday that connects us all.
You know, one thing they didn't really do that they only touched on, they really dive deep into Asif Manvi and Kate Hudson's relationship, but they don't really go too in-depth with the angle of Kate Hudson's sister, played by Sarah Chalk, of Scrubs fame.
Married to Cameron Esposito.
Yeah, Cameron Esposito.
Yeah, yes, exactly. They only touch on it. There's a moment where it's like, oh, sorry, like she
they only make Margo floats in the garage.
I think this movie like kind of forgot about them.
Yeah.
There's a lot they could have cut from this movie, but they just sort of introduced that and never do anything with it. It's like, it's basically just the Margot Martindale saying like, oh, you're gay? Well, I don't like gays either.
Well,
anyway,
I don't
back
like
to
that.
Asif Manvi. It's just like, okay. I'm not saying I would have wanted an extended sequence of, you know, her being homophobic. Like, that's not like that would have made this better. But it's like, why introduce that at all? Just don't have that in the movie.
I'm just thinking more of the unsettling things. Remember when Margot Martindale, or does the dad call Asif Manvi the house boy?
That's the dad. Like, as soon as he walks
it's
in,
like,
he's
like,
hey, honey, why'd you tell me to stay in the garage? And then they say something super racist, and he says, like, excuse me? Like,
yes.
Yeah, this storyline, very bad.
Very
a lot of stereotypes, racism, very, very bad. The one positive thing I can say about it.
Go on.
There's a positive?
Is that as soon as the parents are like, you know, like, who's this? That's my partner. I'm a lesbian. Stands up for her immediately. As soon as the guy comes in, she's like, no, that's my husband. She's not like, yes, he is the house boy.
Yeah, I did appreciate that too. That immediate Cameron Esposito, I like that her character, like, even though she has nothing to do in this movie, she's just like, you know what? It's like, no, I'm not going with this facade. Like, you know, I was like, no, like we're gay and we're together and we're happy.
It's 2016. It's like, I'm not going to be like, I'm her roommate.
Yeah. It's like Barack Obama's president. I know Trump's running, but clearly he's not going to win because that'd be crazy.
That will never happen.
Yeah, you're... It is like, yeah, you expect that.
That feels like dialogue from this movie.
Just because of what else is happening.
Yeah. It's almost like, if the thing is if this was the full length version movie of that story, then you would have that, but
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's wrapped up quick, but yeah.
It's just a snapshot.
They're surprisingly, like I said, he's surprisingly good, in that scene. I feel like I was like, he is somehow making this work in this weird Asif was and
he gets to channel some real anger,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. And
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and he's that's what drives me nuts is how those Skype calls look so fake.
I know,
but it's like.
But I will say this: I was surprised that they actually got the official Skype logo. Usually,
oh, yeah.
it's on fake made up.
You know, you gotta get paid.
Yeah, Gary's got to get paid, son.
Well, speaking of getting paid, we should mention, as we mentioned earlier, the budget for this movie is $25 million. It only grossed $48 million worldwide. So this was not really a successful movie.
They
waited too long.
They waited too long?
Yeah. Well, apparently
they should have done it right after New Year's Eve.
Apparently, this was in development, like, or at least started development in 2013. So,
you guys want to get depressed even more? In addition to this being Gary Marshall's final movie, this was also the final film appearance of Penny Marshall. She died a couple years after this.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Well, we do have a we should be wrapping this up here.
Well, we all have to make that call to our mothers, so yeah, we should probably
wrap this up. Can I very quickly go down some of the mom tropes that I wrote
down? Please.
passive aggressive mom is Margot, the racist grandma. Mm-hmm. Does it all mom, Jennifer Aniston.
Supermom.
Manic mom is the beginning where she throws the banana at the bus.
Manic mom.
Neurotic mom is the one who just had the baby.
Yeah.
So she's like, germs.
Sanitize.
Dead mom trope.
Dead mom.
Second much younger wife who wants to be the mom.
Oh, yeah.
And then oblivious dad trope, which is Jason Sudeikis.
Oblivious dad mom.
Oblivious dad mom.
But then this very, very progressive movie also goes, you know, opposite trope with the guy's the one that wants to get married. And the girl's like, no, I don't know.
Yeah, we're really doing stuff over here.
Man. Yeah.
That's a good.
Very woke.
It's a woke ass movie.
Well, I can't believe the woke got this movie.
They don't make these anymore because of woke.
Let's get into recommendations, because I got to go down to the CVS to get a card for mom. They're almost closed. Ryan, let's start with you. Would you recommend Mother's Day? And if not, what would you recommend in its place?
Oh, my final words, you know, there's a few of my notes I put. I said, did Gary Marshall invent the shitty Netflix movie? And I said, oh, just kidding. This is a Crackle original. And then I said, oh, just kidding. This is what AI art looks like. So I did not enjoy it, but I did like our discussion. And I'm glad that we're like the only people have ever thought about this movie in 8 years, basically. So I think, I don't know. I think don't really recommend it. I think you pulled a good one with enough said. I don't know if Stepmom holds up, but I remember as a kid I liked that movie and it made me cry.
Same.
So I don't know. It might that one may be too trickly, I bet. But like at the time, it was a good one. And it has Julie Roberts. You know, if you're gonna pivot slightly, she died. I mean, she doesn't die. Spoiler: Susan Sarandon dies.
Oh no.
But that has Jenna Malone, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah
that started the crush for me, for a lifelong crush with Jenna Malone. So watch that. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Mike, what about you? Would you recommend Mother's Day? I was about to say Valentine's.
Well, I read that great quote from the Guardian review that compared this to an asbestos fire next to a children's hospital. I just wanted to... if you ever want to look at like some funny bad reviews, the Rotten Tomatoes for Mother's Day is pretty good. And there's just one that I would like to say. This is from Kimber Myers, top critic, Rotten Tomatoes. The cinematic equivalent of spilling boiling hot coffee on your mother when you bring her burnt toast for breakfast in bed.
That's perfect. All right, Jackie, would you recommend?
So that's a no then,
Mike? Yes.
If that wasn't clear, it's a no for me.
I would also not recommend, for all of the reasons that we have said. I would recommend in its place, I feel like I did this with New Year's Eve too. Go watch a good Gary Marshall movie, such as The Princess Diaries.
He did Princess Diaries?
Yeah, man.
Oh, Gary.
Hey, and I love that flick. It's really more about dad than mom, although grandma's in there too. Anyway, that's a Hector Elizondo role.
Yeah, I would also not recommend this movie. There are other better Gary Marshall movies to watch, like Valentine's Day.
Like Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day.
On a more serious note, I would recommend Enough Said. But yeah, definitely wouldn't recommend this. And now, now we get to the whole source of this rom-com trilogy curse, Kara, who...
The evil magician who cursed us to begin with.
She was the one who faxed us asking for a rom-com, so this is her fault. Would you recommend Mother's Day, Kara?
You know, I actually would.
Yeah, let's go!
Because I laughed a lot. I thought it was really fun. And it's a bad movie. It's not good. But it is, I think it's an enjoyable watch. So I would say, yes, watch it. Don't expect anything good. And you're going to have, just roll with whatever it's giving you. And you're going to have fun watching it. And then get a group together and just tear it apart.
Yes, that's the most important thing. If you watch this movie, you must talk some shit afterwards.
How can I deny people this opportunity that I've gotten to experience?
And that, you're right. You're much more selfless than us.
That is a very specific recommendation. Watch the movie and then record a podcast about the movie afterwards.
You don't have to record it, but you should talk about it.
Yeah, you don't have to record it, but you should do, yeah, anyway.
You know, movies bring us together. Just like
Mother's Day.
Just like Mother's Day.
And on that note, we will wrap up our Mother's Day rom-com trilogy curse. The curse is lifted. We are now free. I noticed the door is unlocked. We can open that now.
Wow.
And we got places to be. We got to go down to the CVS, get a card for Mom, give Mom a call, maybe buy some chocolates, or maybe make a little Potato Man figurine for her.
May I recommend...
You know, the way a 13-year-old does.
Flower Legos for moms. That's my recommendation.
Flower Legos are awesome.
Give your mom a call or don't. I don't know. Maybe she's not nice.
May I suggest brunch?
Hey, ever heard of that one?
But the curse is lifted. We now go out into the wasteland to buy a Mother's Day card. We'll see you later, folks. Call your mom.
Boy, you've lost your mind. I'm gonna go work out. I'll be right over here.